I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
U.S. intelligence is actually telling us Iran didn't fund or plan or mastermind this hideous Hamas massacre of Gaza. Really? While Ali Baraka, who's a Hamas big shot, was telling Russian TV that our allies, quote, our allies are those that support us with weapons and money. First and foremost, it is Iran that is giving us money and weapons, end quote. Where'd that Iranian money come from? Energy sales. Well, how are all those energy sales possible? A relaxation of sanctions. That's how. Now, one more factoid. Iranian foreign exchange reserves, they were about $4 billion 3 years ago. Today, miraculously, their foreign exchange position is estimated to be about $70 billion worth. Well, where'd they get all that money? You guessed it. A relaxation of sanctions.
Larry Kudlow, Fox Business News, drilling down on the money trail, going to Iran and in turn to terrorist actions all around the world, not just Hamas and the Gaza Strip, but Hezbollah or any other terrorist agency, be they in Africa or even inside this nation. This is October 13, 2023, the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We air Monday through Friday, 6 to 8, back to back. You don't want to miss any of it. And we stream at the same time. Video from the studio. You can see that at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, and also on Rumble. And if you miss anything and you want to watch the audio, I mean, watch the video, because I do admit I get, how would you describe it, Quentin? Maybe a little over the top? That's a polite way to say it. Berserk might be another phrase on some issues like we're dealing with today and have been all this week. I have a lot of material I have put aside today. I had some lighter material I was going to do. It's interesting, but I can't bring myself to do that. Not now. Now I'm going to deal with the House Speaker's racing. And that's just another debacle inside the Republican Party that's not helping anything, much less what we're doing in helping Israel. All of that aside, if you miss any part of any program, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you can pull up anything you want, and then share it with anyone else that you think needs to hear it. And I remind you, you can email me directly. I go back over and look at comments posted on either the Rumble feeds are on my personal feed or the News Talk STL feed, and I try to respond to those. I don't get around to a lot of them as fast as I would like. Same thing about email, but you can always email me any comment you want, plus, minus, Larry, go to hell. I'll take all of it. I don't tell anybody you can't do it. It's LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. That simple. Everything is branded Larry Connors USA. That's Connors with an E, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. So if you want to write and send something, be it a blistering attack, that's fine. I have no issue with that. You're entitled to speak your opinion. Because while the show's on the air, I'm speaking mine. I left here yesterday and I was, just dealing with all this stuff. And we're distant from it, and yet it cuts into our heart just knowing what's happened to innocents, children, babies, women and men who had nothing to do with a fight on either side. They got caught in the middle. Those in Israel were attacked directly. Those in the Gaza Strip were warned by Israeli forces, you need to move out of some of these areas. If you're living near a Hamas member or a cache of weapons, do not stay there, because we have intel, and we will be bombing and demolishing that area. If they didn't get out, then they ended up being killed, which to that point, by the way, word had been sent out earlier today, as Israel prepares the actual ground assault, they urged Palestinians, they're all Palestinians, these are the ones living in the Gaza Strip, that you need to evacuate the northern part of the Gaza Strip. Again, the whole strip is about 25 miles long, 48 miles wide, but they gave them a demarcation zone, which would be familiar to those living there, the Wadi Gada. I said Rafa crossing area. That's where it goes into Egypt. I'm sure if they could get into Egypt, they may be doing that. The Wadi Gaza basically separates Gaza City area from lower southern Gaza. Wadi is a riverway, sometimes dry, sometimes with water. At the Mediterranean Sea, often has water in it. Telling all of them, the 1 million plus living in the Gaza City area, go south. You'll still be in the Gaza Strip, but get out of this immediate area. Two things happen then. You're giving advance warning to maybe save civilians and collateral damage. But at the same time, you're telling Hamas, we will not be hitting southern Gaza so far. So far. They may end up having to do that because these cowards that hide under babies' cribs and behind women's dresses, they're going to mix in with the population thinking, you can't hit me. I got all these men, women, and children around me that are innocent. And that would not be the intent. But often in the fog of war, or an intent to fulfill the mission to take out a particular target, there will be the collateral damage. And at the same time, Hamas is telling those Palestinians, stay where you are. Stay in the city. Because they don't want to lose on the munitions and everything they've got there. They don't have time to get them out. So they figure if Palestinian residents are still living there, and they may even be locked in their homes for all we know, or if they walk out on the street to leave, they may be shot down by Hamas because they want civilians' lives at stake, knowing that we in this nation and our morality, not just this nation, but most nations, we do not want to hurt innocent people. Larry Kudlow was pointing out that, raising the question, U.S. intel, has it been lying to us? I'm going to get into that in much more detail a little bit later, but he looks at what we've been told, and I'd mentioned to you earlier, we have Senator Marshall Blackburn calling for the head of Jake Sullivan, our national security advisor, who had been claiming everything's calm, everything's good. Now more information is coming forward, and the surprising source, it's CNN and NNN. I'm going to love telling you that part of the story still to come. But Larry Kudlow, going back to the fact that we said we had sanctions in place, we said we were enforcing them. Under Trump, we did. I'm not trying to make it a political issue, but you know things existed then differently than what we have now. You know our southern border was not open for anyone and everyone. And he had the Remain in Mexico policy, partly using the COVID rule to do it, but either way, we were more secure. And when he said we're putting sanctions on, there were sanctions put on. But this administration has been lying. Larry Kudlow.
Yesterday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen swore up and down that the Bidens have in no way relaxed the economic sanctions on Iranian oil. To refresh your memory, please take a listen to this.
We have not in any way relaxed our sanctions on Iranian oil. And we have sanctions on Hamas, on Hezbollah. This is something we have been constantly looking at and using information that comes available to tighten sanctions.
Yep. So it was a lie, wasn't it? Now, not just in that little bit of a lie, but there's also the fact that what was happening on oil and other parts of the economy and money going into Iran and terrorist nations when we supposedly had them under lock and key. They're not going to get it. So Kudlow has specific issues.
So here's my problem with that statement. A couple of years ago, Iran was producing about 400,000 barrels of oil a day. Today, they're producing about 3.5 million barrels per day, and they're on their way to 4 million barrels per day, according to industry observers. Now, where'd that come from? You don't suppose sanctions were lifted so they could sell it, do you? Now, wait a minute. Some more numbers. Iran has a favorite customer, China. In 2020, Iran sold China roughly $6.5 billion worth of oil, $6.5 billion. Then the next year, Biden's first year in 2021, that mysteriously jumped to $23 billion. Then last year, in 2022, that oil sale mysteriously leaped to $30 billion. Well, where'd all that come from? If we didn't lift the sanctions, how come they're producing and selling all that oil? Odd story, isn't it? Now, what's this worth to Iran? Anyway, at least another $60 billion worth of revenue. $60 billion, okay? The $6 billion controversy for the hostage exchange, small beer. The oil sales is everything.
The oil sales is everything. Which, by the way, supposedly the administration, I don't know, the word's been, they're waffling again. Well, okay, we're going to freeze that money, that $6 billion. We're not going to give it to Iran. All they were insisting, they had nothing to do with this attack. The money wasn't going to be used that way, but money is fungible. You can exchange it. You can move it around. You can launder it. And if you've got the money in hand, you could spend that now because you've got Christmas coming from the U.S. if we hold to what Biden put in place. Now, we'll see if that holds. But the mere fact that you hear the Biden administration say, well, no, they have to use that humanitarian aid only. And we got checks and balances. As if we don't have checks and balances in this country against laundering money, and you want to tell me again, do you want to tell me again that Iran and Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist states don't know how to launder money and make it look like it came from somewhere else or it's not the money mix. If they don't know it, as I said, then they should take a lesson from the Biden family because they damn sure know how to set up shell accounts and make it happen. Let me go where the numbers Kudlow repeated, stated, because I know when you throw a lot of numbers at you on the air, it's hard to follow. I'll make it very simple, very quickly for you. Iranian oil exports to China since 2020. In 2020, they were $6.5 billion oil sales to China. $6.5 billion. Keep that number in head. Now, almost multiplied by four oil sales to China in 2021, the following year, $23 billion. 23. And then in 2022, add another $7 billion to 23. What do you have? $30 billion. Thanks for helping with the ciphering. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin arriving in Tel Aviv to meet with his counterpart, basically repeating messages already stated by Secretary of State Blinken and President Biden.
As the U.S. Secretary of Defense, I am here in person to make something crystal clear. America's support for Israel is ironclad. And I extend my deepest condolences to the Israeli people for those killed or wounded in this terrible slaughter by Hamas. I'm also here in solidarity with all the families still living the waking nightmare of not knowing the fate of their loved ones. And we will continue to coordinate closely with Israel to help secure the release of the innocent men, women, and children in the clutches of Hamas, including American citizens.
And we don't know exactly how many American citizens they have. He did not mention the 2,400 U.S. Marines of the 26th unit that have been apparently withdrawn from exercises in Kuwait and are on standby somewhere in the region, maybe on the carrier or another one arriving. He also did not specifically mention what Israel has already reported, that they are getting assistance from the U.S. that comes beyond advice and assist. It doesn't state exactly what that means other than some of our most elite are on the ground in Israel, helping retrieve hostages from the terrorists in Israel. Whether or not they're going to go into Gaza and do the same, we don't know. And he didn't mention, and that's fine. We should not know all of this stuff right now for the security of the men and women that are involved in these actions. I want you to listen to a retired Israeli defense officer general as to what he witnessed when he first heard of what was going on.
At President Biden's direction, we have moved urgently to respond to this crisis and to send a strong message of deterrence. The USS Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group is now in the region, led by the largest aircraft carrier in the world. We've augmented U.S. fighter aircraft squadrons in the Middle East, and the U.S. Department of Defense stands fully ready to deploy additional assets if necessary.
But again, he did make it clear, and that was my fault. I forgot that I wanted you to hear him state that specifically. But now I want you to hear from the retired general from the Israeli Defense Forces on what he saw on the day the terror went down.
In my whole military career, I haven't seen such horrifying and terrible things, you know, of killing. I saw women holding their children and being shot by holding them. People were hiding, you know, under furniture and got murdered. I saw a few people that their head was chopped. Children. Sorry. It was terrible, 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 terrible. And we failed. We failed. I feel ashamed. We failed to protect them.
We're going to do what we can to protect them, and we failed. Now, General Austin is pointing out and expressing Israel is on the right side.
Israel has a right to protect its people. You know, and there are many phone calls this week. President Biden has told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the United States would also respond swiftly and decisively to such a massive terrorist assault. And the president also underscored that democracies like ours are stronger and more secure when we uphold the laws of war. Terrorists like Hamas deliberately target civilians, but democracies don't. This is a time for resolve and not revenge, for purpose and not panic, and for security and not surrender.
And at this time, the Israeli ground forces are going to start moving into the northern part of the Gaza Strip. Now, earlier we were talking about, are we being lied to by our U.S. intel as to what was known involving Hamas and Iran, and are we being lied to them now? These are big issues. In the next segment, I want you to hear again from Larry Kudlow raising that issue, and then I've got some answers, and some coming from CNN. Stand by, please. Lock and load.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and newstalkstl.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Train a coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
U.S. intelligence is actually telling us Iran didn't fund or plan or mastermind this hideous Hamas massacre of Gaza. Really? While Ali Baraka, who's a Hamas big shot, was telling Russian TV that our allies, quote, our allies are those that support us with weapons and money. First and foremost, it is Iran that is giving us money and weapons, end quote. Where'd that Iranian money come from? Energy sales. Well, how are all those energy sales possible? A relaxation of sanctions. That's how. Now, one more factoid. Iranian foreign exchange reserves, they were about $4 billion 3 years ago. Today, miraculously, their foreign exchange position is estimated to be about $70 billion worth. Well, where'd they get all that money? You guessed it. A relaxation of sanctions.
And again, I want you to hear that soundbite from Larry Kudlow, Fox Business News, because at the heart of it is what we're being told and what's really happening. We have sanctions on them. No, apparently we don't. And everything's safe. It's status quo in the Middle East. No hot spots, no concern. Well, Wall Street Journal had a story yesterday saying that, yes, we were aware of the possibility something like this could happen, but we did nothing. Now, Wall Street Journal, you consider to be more conservative, certainly not liberal, but I want to read to you now from CNNN. This is a piece, a lengthy piece written on one of their web pages, and it may have had the author's name on it, and I've stripped them off. But it reads this way. The U.S. intelligence community produced at least two assessments based in part on intelligence provided by Israel, warning the Biden administration of an increased risk for Palestinian-Israeli conflict in the weeks ahead of the Saturday seismic attack on southern Israel. That's from CNN. Quoting sources familiar with the intel. Now, before I continue reading through that, if you were listening the first hour, and I hope you were, if you weren't, you could pull it up as a podcast, listen to it. I strongly encourage you to do so. Tennessee Senator Marshall Blackburn sent a letter to President Biden today calling for him to remove immediately to terminate National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan because of the attacks on Israel. Now, Jake Sullivan is not responsible for Israeli security. He's responsible for our security. But in her statement, Blackburn pointed out, just days before Hamas launched their violent surprise attack against Israel, President Biden's national security advisor, Jake Smith, told us, and talking about members of Congress, the Middle East is quieter today than it's been in two decades. Now, here you have the national security advisor saying earlier this month, just days before the attack, everything is safe, it's all quiet on the Middle Eastern front. And yet I just read a piece from CNN saying there were plenty of warning signs. In fact, let me read specific. September the 28th, one update warned, based on multiple streams of intel, that the terrorist group Hamas was poised to escalate rocket attacks across the border. An October 5 wire from the CIA warned generally of the increasing possibility of violence by Hamas. October 6, the day before the attack, U.S. officials circulated reporting from Israel indicating unusual activity by Hamas, that an attack was imminent. None of the assessments on the American side offered any tactical details or indications of the scope, scale, brutality carried out October 7th. And the CNN report states it's unclear if any of these assessments were shared with Israel, which provides much of the intel the U.S. uses regarding what's going on in Israel. One source familiar with the intelligence is quoted by CNN and stating, the problem is none of this is new. Let me stop for 1 second. It's been a hotbed for decades, centuries. To that extent, is it just more chatter? And, you know, it just goes on and on. You guys who have selective hearing with your spouse, or women with your spouse, or a friend or whatever, your selective hearing, they're going blah, 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 and you tune them out. Is that what was happening here? Intel sources should not be dismissed that casually. But this source states, there is something that has historically been the norm between Hamas and Israel. I think what happened is everyone saw these reports and were like, here it is. Yeah, of course, but we know what this will look like. Apparently we didn't. And the assessments, the CNN article continues, were among a wave of high-level warnings given to the Biden administration by its own intel community and Middle Eastern allies over the past year, raising questions about whether the U.S. and Israel were appropriately attuned to the risk. Well, we have a member of Congress today introducing that we activate more money, pass a bill and get more money out as soon as we can to assist Israel going forward, and of course ourselves when you come down to it. The CNN report continues, a Middle Eastern ambassador in D.C., in Washington, D.C., told CNN, their government has repeatedly warned the White House and U.S. intel officials of a buildup of Hamas weapons and anger among Palestinians set to explode. The Middle Eastern ambassador is then quoted as saying, the arms that exist in Gaza are beyond the imagination of anybody's thinking. The arms that exist in the West Bank via Hamas are also becoming a real problem, and Hamas control of the West Bank is a real issue. If Hamas plans to go into the West Bank and take it from the PLO, there's an interfered battle there, but they could all suddenly turn on Israel together, and then they'll work out their differences. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said today, reference all these intel leaks and information, if we had known, or if we know of a pending attack against an ally, we would clearly inform that ally. So far, I see nothing, and nothing's pointed out here that we did or we did not inform Israel of these rumblings that were getting louder, like the small earthquake, small seismic reading, and then suddenly you've got a major quake. And then we have those already beginning to get away from any blame of the U.S. And I will grant you again, we are not responsible for Israeli security directly, but they rely on us and we rely on them. But already here's a pushback, as noted by CNN. Another source familiar with the intel summed up, or rather sunburned, it points out, Israel missed this, not us. We have a level of confidence in Shin Bet, the IDF, Mossad, and others. And they didn't say anything, so we didn't see an alarm. The New York Times is also reporting what I've just been reading to you. The New York Times reporting the existence of some of these reports and that they were not briefed up to President Joe Biden. Briefed up means he's read them and someone read them to him. Not saying he can't read, but that's the policy and the way they go about it. I don't know who you're going to blame there. The quickest answer would be Biden, but if he's not getting the information, then he has nothing to act on. And if he gets the information, doesn't know how to act or did not act, then we have an issue. CNN basically concludes the article pointing out the Office of Director of National Intel and the CIA were asked about this, and their answer, see this answer they have down pat. Two words. In decades of being a reporter and pushing people with some hard questions, I heard the same two words. You know the two words, don't you? No, it's not starting with F. It's good in some cases. It's no comment. The White House was asked, what's your reaction to what we have here, what we're hearing? The White House has down the same two words. Surprise, surprise. No comment. CNN article goes on to point out that there's so many missed signs based on conversations with dozens of current, former intel, military, congressional officials. All of this points out that U.S. officials and lawmakers say maybe it was Israel's failure exactly, but then again, maybe we also were too complacent. Israeli officials failing to recognize routine Hamas training as a sign they were preparing an imminent attack, training for at least six sites across Gaza, which they should have been spotted by satellite. And then, of course, the word that came out the other day that they started plotting this almost 2 years ago after they saw the debacle of the Biden administration, the U.S. administration withdrawal from Afghanistan. If the world does not fear us, they'll walk right over us. If they have no respect for our commander-in-chief and our leadership, they'll walk right over us. I believe Hamas and Hezbollah worry about Israel, but at the same time, we thought we got them this time. And they did. For now, so far. Coming up, as seen by the New York Times.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So let's go over some more details of what's happening in Gaza and will be over this coming weekend. You probably have seen some of the footage of how buildings in Gaza City have been destroyed, blown to pieces. Before the Israeli forces started firing those rockets in after the attack that slaughtered up to 1,200 Israelis, many captured and taken as hostages, and many U.S. citizens, and even residents, citizens of 15 other nations who happened to be there, right in the line of fire when the terrorists came across. And today the word was given by the Israeli Defense Force to Palestinians living on the Gaza Strip: you need to move south, get away from Gaza City. This is in advance of the ground attack starting. And you're getting a lot of stories out, which you knew you would, and I'm not going to belittle them, because all the Palestinians living in Gaza Strip are not Hamas. They are also innocent, but now they're caught in this, and often because Hamas builds their rocket factories right under the basement of where a family lives, and their leaders are mixed inside the community, thinking, you won't hit us because you'd kill innocents. Well, what Israel did do immediately is shut off water, gas, fuel, everything to the Gaza Strip. And I'm looking at one report from a humanitarian worker in the Gaza Strip saying conditions are getting very dire. I have no doubt they are. And Hamas wants that kind of story told over and over again. Don't you have sympathy? I have sympathy for those people. I don't have sympathy for the Hamas terrorists. And they really don't have sympathy for their own people either. Because if there is food and water available, Hamas terrorists are going to take it. They don't care if they're starving their own people. They're using them as a shield as it is. There's a woman in Texas trying to help get her husband out of the Gaza Strip. He was there on some kind of business or something, and she's trying to find, how do we get him out of there? It's been tough enough just to get out of Israel. And this is something, again, I still don't know why this administration has not done it. If U.S. airliners said, we're not going to fly in that region again, it's too dangerous, I don't understand. But we could send in military planes to escort, get people out, like we did in Afghanistan. Only that was a debacle because we're doing it in the middle of the city, not out at Bagram Air Force Base, 30-plus miles outside the city, fully secured with barbed wire and everything. And that action, the way we did it, led to the death of 13 American troops, one of them from the St. Louis area. You can't forget there are innocents on both sides that are trapped. They don't want to be there. Same thing with Ukraine and Russia. Not that Russians are trapped in the midst, but they've got relatives that live in Ukraine, or their son or daughter that Russia conscripted is on the front line, and they're worried about them. They don't want to be in war with Ukraine, but Putin made that decision. So Hamas told them, you need to move out of the Gaza City area, go below the Wadi Gaza, which is a stream that runs through the middle of Gaza, the Gaza Strip, which is about 25 miles long. Go south. You'll be safer there. Well, Hamas realized that, well, we can go south, it would be safer too. But they can't get all their weapons and rockets out of the Gaza City area before they move south. They like the Gaza City area because some of those rockets could reach Tel Aviv or come close to it. Going farther south adds another 10, 12 miles that maybe they won't be able to reach what they want. The New York Times is reporting again about how the Israelis near Gaza are going about this, and they begin it by saying, for years, Israeli officials worried about the threat of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Still, they viewed a full ground invasion of Gaza too dangerous, too costly to try. Many Israeli soldiers would die. The widespread killing of Palestinian civilians would damage Israel's global reputation. And the invasion might fail to dismantle Hamas. So they've known they've got a scorpion under the bed, a nest of them. But if you're not careful trying to burn them out, you catch the house, the bed on fire, the house, everything. But they'd never expected, as you were listening earlier to Israeli defense general, retired, no one expected them to mobilize like an army, which they did. And they did that with assistance in money and training from Iran, the Iranian Revolutionary Force, which is the military for Iran. Setting up plans how to cut through the barriers, cross the 35-mile buffer zone, cut through the barriers, and then bulldoze the rest of it, and as the hole gets bigger and bigger, more people, vehicles would flood in, which they did. And we'll use paragliders to get in some other areas. They won't see us coming. The Iron Dome would not detect that. Now this piece by the New York Times says the same challenges that kept Israel from invading Gaza before have not gone away. So the war, as a result, has the potential to become another case study in the strategic difficulties of urban warfare. As we experienced in Fallujah, Iraq, nearly 20 years ago, Israel did in Lebanon during the 80s, Russia is now in Ukraine. Head of the Atlantic Council said one of the most complicated fighting scenarios that you can have, door-to-door, fighting that close, he said it makes for bloody, awful conflict. And so the New York Times writer said, what is Israel trying to accomplish? What is Hamas's strategy? They point out Hamas's, or rather Israel's goals, again, according to New York Times, is what the Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu said. Crush and destroy Hamas. Then they add, but many analysts expect the group will continue to exist in some form. That I agree with. You don't get all of the snakes. You only need one or two to get away. And then they have eggs, and you got more and more snakes. Right now, Israel has about 3% of its entire population. 360,000 troops mobilized along the border of the Gaza Strip. And they cut off the fuel, power, and water, as they said, for Gaza. Still trying to find Hamas fighters who might be inside Israel. Then you get into the populated streets at Gaza that's going to be extremely difficult, hiding in alleys and so forth, much like U.S. forces encountered when they got into Paris. Street to street fighting, or Poland, or Holland. Tom Friedman, the Times columnist, wrote, "What Israel's worst enemies, Hamas and Iran, want is for Israel to invade Gaza and get enmeshed in a strategic overreach that would make America's entanglement in Fallujah look like a children's birthday party. We're talking house-to-house fighting. That would undermine whether sympathy Israel has garnered on the world stage, deflect world attention from the murderous regime in Tehran, and force Israel to stretch its forces to permanently occupy Gaza, and then also maybe the West Bank to the north." Right now, every Israeli young man and woman, when they reach a certain age, they are conscripted into the Israeli military. They serve minimum 3 years, and they learn specifics on weapons and things of this nature. But of course, if you're not staying current with it, you might not be able to react that fast if called upon. David Ignatius of the Washington Post stated, "The Israelis have advantages. They probably have detailed computer images of every major building in Gaza. They can use robots and drones to scout them, find Hamas defenders and kill them. And many of the terrorists who kept Israeli hostages were on video. It's a safe bet that every one of them will be a victim for Israeli revenge." Now, what about Hamas? Some experts believe Hamas weekend attacks were more successful and deadlier than even Hamas expected. In the past, urban warfare has helped insurgent groups beat back stronger militaries. Hamas militants will probably use a similar approach in Gaza. They have already booby-trapped numerous homes and tunnels, have grenades ready to lob at Israeli troops. They will also likely dress as civilians, as they have in the past, which brings me to a point. They have in the past, these terrorists, these men, these brave men who are willing to go into a village and shoot anyone unarmed, chop the heads off of babies, if they see you coming, put on a dress and cover their face like they're a woman, until they get close enough and then throw a grenade or pull out an automatic weapon. The New York Times concluding, saying, "Among the few confident predictions experts make are sure that the coming invasion will be brutal and will probably include major surprises." The Times previewing a likely ground invasion. It's not likely, it's happening. They're in the process of moving now. "That a major operation is coming is hardly in doubt, but there are tactical arguments over how many operations, or rather how any operation should start, whether it begins massively or with raiding parties, and how best to coordinate Israel's overwhelming strength in land, sea, and especially air power. I'd mentioned to you earlier that Israel has acknowledged we already have some U.S. boots on the ground, special elite forces helping them rescue hostages. And we know 2,400 U.S. Marines are on standby, pulled out of Kuwait from a training exercise. When, if ever, they're activated and especially go on the ground, we'll wait and see. They may go in and say only inside Israel and let the Israeli Defense Forces go after those in Gaza. There are a lot of scenarios. But for those of us just a weekend ago, you know, and in Israel, and in Gaza, those who weren't part of the planning, we were absolutely shocked by what happened. And I look back on this week's broadcast, and I'd say 99% of my material has dealt with this. Is that not only compelling, but a need to know? Which burned my butt when I heard someone tell me their son had come home from school and they asked them, it's a private school, they spent a lot of money to send their child there, and asked, so What do you think now about Hamas and the terrorists, and especially the college campuses shouting they support Hamas? And the boy looked at her like, well, we're not hearing anything like that in school. He said, here's what we're doing. Handed her a piece of paper that said, this is gay for a day. She's upset. She's not Jewish, but she's reaching out to some Jewish parents who have kids there. Together, they're going to inundate that school, the leadership, with letters. How dare you? And I gave her connections to some of my feeds, which you can pull up as well, just so she can put them in front of her son and he can catch up to what's going on. He's a bright kid, but it's not what he's being taught, not even active history. All right, let's consider that right now. We know a lot's going to happen over the weekend. Come Monday, we'll be right back in the throes of it. But let me try the best we can to kind of let you go on this Friday to something a little lighter and easier on you. So let's begin with a story that got sent to me. I had seen it, but I hadn't really bothered with it. My boots on the ground, Andrew sent it to me, and I sent back to him when I read it, because I was already aware of it. I said, you need to get a life. I mean, why are you picking on this him, her? You know, why can't you let Debbie, David be whatever, whoever, whatever they want? I wish I could have seen his face, because he knows I was jostling back at him. But this is from the Washington Examiner. It's been reported elsewhere. Dylan Mulvaney, yes, the one that, with the help of Budweiser woke execs, destroyed Anheuser-Busch. Dylan Mulvaney, the transgender activist, still a biological man, but identifies as a woman, got a special award in the United Kingdom. Was given the award, represented by the Virgin Atlantic Attitude Awards. This biological male identifying as a woman was awarded Woman of the Year. Mulvaney said, so no matter how hard I try, what I wear, what I say, or what surgeries I get, I'll never reach an acceptable version of womanhood by those hateful people's standards. People don't see me as a woman at all. Well, of course they don't. You were born a man. If you want to mutilate your body to change it, you can, but you were not born that way, or you wouldn't have to go through this surgery. But getting the Woman of the Year award, whatever, is so happy. She suggested maybe those who involve a Bud Light should create an ad featuring a trans woman and a cowboy drinking a beer at a bar. It's not Brokeback Mountain. Transgender activist Dylan suggested a tagline. There's room for all of us beer drinkers in this here town. You know, I don't know if that made your day lighter or not, but at least we changed subjects. As always, thank you for listening, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.